This is All Things Git, the podcast about Git. I'm Edward Thompson, and it's just me today. I'm on my own, no co-hosts. I've decided to do something a little bit different for this episode. If you've been listening to the podcast, then you'll know that we've put a few episodes together, and I was just starting to feel comfortable with the way things were going. We've sorted out a lot of the logistics and some of the audio problems that we had in the first few episodes. Hopefully you didn't notice. But since things were going so well, I decided to mix it up entirely. Instead of the usual episode where we sit down and interview someone, a lot of this episode was recorded live at the Git Sprint weekend that was hosted by Bloomberg London. The idea behind this weekend is that Bloomberg, that's Bloomberg, the global financial information company, they organize open source hackathons in London and New York to work on open source software. In the past, they've done projects like Eclipse and Clang, but in this case, actually fixing bugs or building features in Git. Git itself, the command line app that runs when you type git checkout, or to hack on libgit2. If you're not familiar with libgit2, it's a linkable library that re-implements Git so that you can include it in your own application. So even if you're not familiar with it, chances are that you're using it in a website or in an app without even knowing it. It's used by most of the Git hosting providers, including GitHub, GitLab, and Visual Studio Team Services. So when you click Merge Pull Request, you're probably actually using libgit2. But anyway, back to the Git Sprint weekend.
I'm the event host this weekend.
That's Henry Kleinhans. He actually organized the event. The idea is that Bloomberg provides a space to get people together and sit down and hack, and some meals throughout the day. Actually, throughout 2 days, it was a full weekend. And I was incredibly surprised by how many people Bloomberg was able to get together to hack on Git and libgit2. I asked Henry why Bloomberg went to all the effort to put this together.
So Bloomberg has a big interest in being involved with different open source communities. So we have Kevin Fleming, who's in the CTO office, and he basically coordinates with open source communities. And he also does things like evaluate open source licenses and things like that. So we thought, well, wouldn't it be great if people could actually contribute back to open source communities? So in the distant past, Bloomberg would not allow people to contribute to open source projects. It was very much a strict, regimented, no, whatever you develop here is proprietary, and we believe it should stay within these walls. So within the last sort of 4 or 5 years, this has largely turned around from us just being a consumer of open source products to us now actually engaging with the open source community and now wanting to contribute to it. So that's the first thing that happened. The second thing that happened is that Bloomberg has a lot of philanthropic causes, from feeding the poor to supporting veterans in their old age to supporting museums and, you know, artists and all these kinds of things. And software and open source software is another thing that we would like to support, because it's another area where if we push money into it, it'll actually benefit a lot of different people. You could say it would benefit us all.
So to be clear, this event isn't limited to Bloomberg employees. Bloomberg employees are for sure there, but they host this for people from all over, including students and people who are generally interested in open source and random people like me who I guess have nothing better to do with their weekend.
So we've had about 30 attendees on Saturday, and I think roughly about 15 to 20 today, around about there. So I think for London, that is a reasonable amount. So New York, we tend to get higher numbers. We do try and encourage people, encourage more people to come, I guess. The amazing thing about this hackathon is it was the hackathon with the most female engineers that we've hosted in London, which was really, really impressive. It was great to see a lot of STEM and women in technology work that Bloomberg has been doing is starting to pay off. So we have a lot of strong women engineers who encourage other women engineers to come out to these events. And we also have outreach programs to universities. So yeah, I feel like this is the first time we see this paying off, and it's fantastic to see.
That was something I noticed as well. Women were really well represented among the engineers who were hacking on Git and libgit too. I was really happy about that. The other thing that I was really happy about was that Bloomberg didn't just bring people in to hack blindly on software that they've never contributed to. They also bring in mentors from the Git project, people who actually work on Git day to day, to help people get started working on it, to give them good ideas for easy fixes, and to guide them through their first contribution. They also bring in mentors from libgit2. That's actually why I was there. I'm one of the core contributors to libgit2. So if you're wondering how Henry convinced all these mentors to spend a weekend in London helping people contribute to Git and libgit2, then the answer is actually pretty simple.
It's all bribery and corruption, really. So in essence, we do rely on people volunteering their time and volunteering their effort. On the flip side, we also really want to provide these communities with a way to expand and grow. I think while we obviously would like to produce patches and contribute patches over the weekend, I think the much bigger goal of the event is to get people to stay with these communities and grow with these communities. So from that perspective, I think it offers kind of a win-win situation. We do lure them with you know, free beer and steak. But at the end of the day, I think, you know, it really is just that opportunity to have human contact with a community that from the outside can be very hard to grasp. So it's very easy to read a mailing list and interpret it a certain way. Whereas when you meet a person and you actually talk to them, it's like, oh, actually, maybe he didn't mean it this way when he said that, or maybe he didn't mean this when he said that. So just having that human interaction and just meeting a person actually has a huge impact. And that's ultimately the goal of why we host these, is just to say, well, here's a community, see if you like it. Maybe you like to contribute, maybe you like the people, maybe it's somewhere where you want to stick around.
Henry's totally right. Community can make a huge difference. You've probably seen some of Linus's famous rants on the Linux kernel mailing list. I'll link to it in the show notes. And that's the sort of thing that can really turn people off from contributing to the kernel. But yes, it's really hard to read tone through an email, so it's better to discuss these things in person, to meet in person. Thankfully, the mentors at the Git Sprint weekend were all incredibly helpful.
So my name is Christian Couder, and I'm from Paris, France. I work for GitLab and Booking.com on Git itself. And I'm here to mentor people, and also to go sightseeing a bit around London.
So Christian is one of the mentors, and seriously, Christian is an incredibly nice and thoughtful person. Every time I see him, he's got this big smile on his face, and he just seems so genuinely thrilled to be part of the Git community, and this weekend to expand it by mentoring.
Well, this weekend, I proposed two tasks related to Git Bisect.
So I'm going to interrupt here. If you're not familiar with Git Bisect, it's an awesome tool that helps you figure out where a bug was introduced. It does this by doing a binary search through all the commits in your history, running some tests at each point to figure out at what commit a bug was introduced.
So one task was to try to find, to fix a bug, which is to find and to fix it, because some people have been reporting it for a long time, but it's actually quite difficult to find a good test case. So actually the problem is that Git Bisect in some cases asks you to test merge bases when especially when the good commit you give it is not an ancestor of the bad commit, but sometimes the bug is that it asks people to test merges like 50 times in a row. And of course, people are not happy with that.
So I'm going to interrupt again. I mentioned that Christian is incredibly nice and thoughtful, but he's also deeply technical, as are most of the Git contributors. I'm actually cutting him off a bit here in the interest of time, but he goes into a super deep discussion of this bug in Git Bisect that he's interested in fixing, as well as a new feature that he wants to add to Bisect that only examines the merge commits. This makes so much sense in a workflow where we use pull requests, which is, let's face it, almost all of us. So for this episode, we've got special bonus content. So check out the show notes at allthingsgit.com for Christian's entire discussion. And we're working on scheduling to get him back on to talk more about some of the things he's been doing. But the other thing that he's working on here at this hackathon is improving the getting started experience for new contributors to Git.
One other thing I've been trying to do is I'm trying to improve the makefile, because some people here have had problems, especially on Windows, because they didn't have all the tools like message format or TCLTK to build properly. So I'm trying to improve the error message in those cases.
A number of hackers basically got the Git source code, tried to build it, and got these obscure error messages. And that's a real turnoff to new contributors. Working on a new project is hard enough when it works out of the box. But when it doesn't, Thankfully, the organizers had actually given everybody a backup plan. They set up virtual machines with a build environment ready to go that could compile Git and run all the tests.
The virtual machines were set up by Henry. I think that was a great idea. I don't know how many people used them. Quite a few people were actually using their laptops. But it was nice to have an out for people who had trouble with their laptops. And I know some people did use them.
So that's Jeff King, also known as Pef. I'll let him introduce himself.
I am a longtime contributor to the Git project, and I work for GitHub. I'm the head of the Git core team at GitHub.
I want to pause here and mention that the first mentor we heard from, Christian Kodur, works for GitLab. Pef works for GitHub, and I work for Microsoft on VSTS. So we have three people that build software that fundamentally competes with each other. But the great thing about the Git community is that you would never actually know that. We all work together to solve problems, despite the fact that we are, in practice, competitors. Here's some evidence of that. Jeff's actually going to talk about one of Christian's good ideas.
I think we did a lot of prep work. There was a Trello board with a lot of tasks for both Git and libgit2. I gave a talk, you gave a talk at the beginning of the day to kind of give people an intro. I think one thing that Christian mentioned is that we probably should have a getting started contributing to Git document. I mean, we have submitting patches, but it's sort of assuming a high level of experience that there's no, here's roughly how the source code is laid out and where you might look for something. Kind of document, and something like that might be of value, but people seem to figure it out mostly. I was asked for fewer beginner things than I expected to be.
In case you missed that in there, Pef mentioned submitting patches. This is a text file in the root of the Git source directory that tells you, well, it tells you how to submit patches, like the proper way to format them and send them to the Git mailing list for code review. What it doesn't do is help you understand the layout of the Git source code. You're sort of on your own for that. So I was curious how he thought people were picking it up despite that.
I think it's been good. We've had a lot of people showed up to the first day, and we've had several patches on the list. I think there's at least four or five topics that are probably going to go through one more revision, but I don't see any reason that they wouldn't be merged. I know there's been a lot of activity on libgit2. But yeah, I think we've had good turnout. I think we've had good progress on the patches. I felt really good about the prep work we did to get topics together so that people had stuff to work on that was a good size that they could actually, somebody new to the project could actually make a contribution.
I've got to interrupt Pef here to give a shout out to one of the other core contributors to libgit2, Patrick Steinhardt. He was actually the one that did most of the work in selecting the issues that would be good to hack on this week.
Because a lot of this isn't about, it's not about patches per se. I mean, all other Git contributors could have done these patches. They weren't that big of patches. But the most important thing is getting new people involved in Git, but also just in open source in general. This is the second time we've done this with Bloomberg. The first one, I can't remember when it was, but it was a couple years ago, and we did it in New York. And I think maybe that even there were some people remoting in from London for it. I don't remember the details, but we were not nearly as well prepared, not on the Git side and not on the Bloomberg side. I think this one is producing some real tangible outcomes. It was a lot of work to get it together. I'm on the Git side and the travel. I'm sure it was a lot of work on the Bloomberg side. I'm sure it was a big outlay of money on the Bloomberg side too. There's been a lot of nice food and such.
Remember when Henry said that it was all bribery to get people to show up? Yeah, he wasn't kidding. But a lot of people did show up, and a lot of people did hack on Git, and, as Pef mentioned, there was also a lot of good work on libgit2. I thought that it was really successful, and that was in no small part thanks to Thomas Gummer.
Yeah, so I'm Thomas. I work here at Bloomberg in London. I got started with Git as a Google Summer of Code project in 2013.
Git participates in Google Summer of Code every year, as does libgit2. And we've had some really incredible successes in the community from people who started as Google Summer of Code students. Thomas became a Git contributor through Google Summer of Code and is now mentoring people with libgit2.
I started with helping people on libgit2, which I didn't even really know about before. So that was quite an interesting experience, but we managed to get to a good result in the end.
Now, Thomas is a contributor to the Git project, but he was actually helping out on libgit2 during the hackathon, despite never having looked at the libgit2 code before. I asked him how it was to work on libgit2 instead of Git.
So it was quite foreign in the beginning because it was the task we had at hand was mainly like a small change to reload the index, which and not have, I know about the index, but I don't know about the APIs to do that. So it was quite hard to find out about all the APIs. But once it came to like actually trying to reproduce it, the skills from Git translated quite well to libgit2 because the inner workings and everything is the same. So once we had like, once we tried to write the test case and tried to figure out why it wasn't behaving the way we expected it to behave, I think the skills I acquired in working with Git helped quite a lot trying to figure that out.
I asked him if he thought his patches would be accepted to libgit2, and I got this predictable result.
I really hope they will be accepted. That's on you, I guess.
Yeah, this one's on me. I need to fix a few other issues that were sort of discovered during the hackathon before I can merge this change.
But I think it was successful anyway, whether the contributions are accepted or not, because I think the people working on it managed to get like a nice result of actually fixing what we wanted them to fix, even though we don't know if it's the right fix or not in the end, but and I hope they also learned something along the way. So that's the big win, I think.
So by now you've heard Henry and Pef both say that the goal here is to get people interested in open source and expand the Git community. Here's Thomas's take on whether that will succeed.
I definitely hope so. I'm not sure, like, there's always life that gets in between, and there's only so much free time that you can have, but I really hope they take away that they're actually able to contribute to open source projects, and they're able to contribute to Git, even though it might seem scary at first. I know it seemed scary for me when I started sending the first patches, and I was like, oh my god, what am I doing? Will everyone be like, he's a moron or something? But yeah, I hope people will keep going, that we can at least retain some people as like contributing occasionally.
And of course, I hope so too. But I guess the real person to ask about this is one of the engineers who is hacking on Git and libgit2 for the first time. So I was really thankful that I was able to talk to Etienne Dalcol. Etienne worked with Thomas and with me on this rather straightforward change to libgit2, where it should reload the index before a merge operation. And I think that she enjoyed the event.
Well, it was great. So I went because of a little of peer pressure. So my partner works at Bloomberg, so he was the one who told me about the hackathon. And so he was going. I was like, oh, okay, I'm going to go as well, me.
Right. So her partner that was going, that's actually Thomas that we heard from earlier. Now it's a happy household of Git hackers.
So I decided to go, and then I had a lot of fun. I was actually not sure what to expect, because I have been to different hackathons, and they have been sort of the commercial kind of hackathon where, you know, many companies are sponsoring and you have to use their API and you have to build something, etc. So I had never been to something that was like, let's just contribute to this open source project, which is actually a way nicer way to think about hackathons.
I agree with her 100%. I've never really enjoyed hackathons. So when Henry and Charles Bailey, Charles is one of the other mentors, when they invited me, I was a little hesitant, but I actually had an amazing time, and I think that it was a really productive event. At first, I wondered if that was just because I was a mentor and I wasn't stressed out trying to write code on some deadline, but I don't think so. I think hackathons for open source are just an awesome idea. So, good job, Bloomberg. Back to Etienne.
So, I decided to hack on libgit2.
Why, Etienne, tell me, why you decided to hack on libgit2?
So, I kind of heard rumors that maybe the source code of libgit2 was a little bit more organized.
I'm going to interrupt her just to tell you how happy this makes me to hear. I don't even know if it's true or not. I'm just happy that the word on the street is that libgit2 is more organized.
But, you know, I haven't seen either of the source codes before, so I do use Git a lot. So I use it at work, have been using it for version control for years, but I had never really looked into its own source code. And yeah, same for libgit2. So there were no advantages or disadvantages in picking one of them. So I didn't have a head start neither. So yeah, so I just picked libgit2, took a look at the issues, and picked one of them. So I asked a certain mentor what would be the easiest.
Right. That mentor was me. And I'm not sure, but I think she sort of still doesn't trust my judgment here.
Because, well, I was new to the code base. It had been years I didn't use C. So I used C last time in university. I was very good at it, but never looked at it again. So I was like, okay, I'm going to get like an easy issue so I can explore the source code. And so I was told that the easiest one will be to reload the index before merges, because the fix will be two lines of code, but testing will be a little bit more complicated. In the end, that turned out to be like a huge crisis, because was this issue really an issue? Is this really the way we want to work this out? Maybe it will be better to throw an error. Maybe it will be better to do something else. So there was lots of API discussions around what the issue actually entailed. And that was very nice, because I actually learned a lot about how the Git index works and what it is for, and weird situations where it can get itself into.
I'm not 100% on this, but I think this is the first time that anybody has said that they appreciate extended discussions about APIs. Now, I think that Thomas and Etienne have maybe been a little bit unfair here. I'm looking at her pull request now, and I wasn't entirely wrong. Yeah, the test was hard, but there's really only like 3 lines of code to fix this bug. That's exactly what I said. When I tell Etienne this, though, she literally laughs out loud at me.
Yes, but it was quite difficult to simulate the situation where the error would happen. So it was quite tricky, because you had to do an operation where you loaded the index. So something like git status, and then you had to put yourself in a situation where the cached index no longer represents the index you have in disk, and then this sort of conflicting situation will cause problems before merging. But yeah, simulating the situation was quite tricky.
I asked Etienne how easy or hard it was to get started on a new open source project.
So to get the project running and the test running, the README was enough. So I could like compile, run the tests. I did rely a lot on the mentors from there. Like, oh, I have never seen this test fit before. How do I run only one specific test? Or how do I, so sort of like navigating the project. Eventually, I will probably figure it out. But I think that the greatest part of the hackathon was there were lots of mentors. And it was really easy to just like raise my hand and have someone and answer a quick question. So yeah, having the mentors nearby was what actually made me go through, because at some point, I got started. I was able to, you know, start filling with the code, and okay, I'm just gonna start writing this test over here. But like I said, it was such a tricky issue to simulate, and if I didn't have the mentors to like help me out, and how do I get the index to be dirty and things like that, I would have probably given up, because I was struggling a lot. I don't think it was trivial, because I was not used to the code base. So I was doing lots of fiddling, like, oh, where the hell is this type coming from? And looking around in the project to find like particular functions, that the things that I wanted to do. So yeah, those were things I probably would eventually figure out if I have struggled like longer hours, but also if I was like beating my head too much, probably have given up after the first couple of hours. So yeah, having the mentors around helped me a lot, so to go through this in a quicker way and just like worry about having a working code. Yeah, I had the feeling that even though I didn't had programmed in C for a long time, none of my struggles were related to that. They were more related to finding what is the thing that I need in this code base. Like, well, where is the function that does this? What is this type? What does it mean? What is the thing that is coming through this path? So all sorts of things that were more project related than the language itself, I would say.
Right. So Etienne worked like all through Saturday on this problem that I sort of claimed would be easy, and maybe, well, maybe it wasn't as easy as I had made it out to be. But what then? The Git project actually uses mailing lists to send patches and do code reviews. LibGit2, on the other hand, we operate more like a typical open source project, and we use GitHub. LibGit2 operates on pull requests.
Yes, I opened the pull request. It is currently open because, as I mentioned, there was like this open debate about what the bug actually meant. So before my pull request can be merged, they are redesigning some other parts to make a guard for specific situations before my PR can be merged. But yeah, it's there. I have a PR.
And of course, the million-dollar question. Everybody's talked about how one of the points of this hackathon was to bring new people into working on open source projects and to keep them as contributors. So I asked Etienne if she thought she might contribute more to LibGit2.
Yes, definitely. Probably I will try to contribute in to find like a similar setup or to find a situation where I can get some synchronous contact with one of the maintainers. Because then I can get like some help navigating through the code base. So I've heard there is like a Slack chat. I'm not quite sure about that. So I'm gonna see if I join and then maybe I can talk to the maintainers in an easier way and be able to collect feedback and ask what are the easiest issues to pick as I get more comfortable with the project.
The answer here, by the way, is a firm yes. Yes, LibGit2 has a Slack chat. It's slack.libgit2.org, and there's a LibGit2 room, and there are rooms for the various language bindings as well that are built on top of LibGit2, like LibGit2 Sharp and Rugged and Node-Git. We also use GitHub issues, and for support, we pay attention to Stack Overflow. We try to be really welcoming to new people, but as Thomas mentioned, we only have so many hours in the day, and we've all got day jobs that kind of pull us away from LibGit2. So we try to help as much as we can, of course, but we're trying to build up the community to scale this information. So that's it from the Bloomberg Git Sprint weekend. I think that it was a great event, and I hope that you're inspired to follow Bloomberg and see what other open source hackathons they're doing near you, either in London or in New York. And if you happen to be in or around London and you missed this Git Sprint weekend, have no fear. It's not a hackathon, but we've got something coming to you soon. There's now a London Git user group. Henry Kleinhans, the organizer of the Git Sprint Weekend, and I are putting it together. So if you're around London and you're interested in Git, be sure to check us out at londongit.org. So I'd like to thank Henry, Christian, Pef, Thomas, and Etienne for appearing on the podcast, and especially for being a part of the Bloomberg Git Sprint Weekend. Each of them was kind enough to speak to me during a really busy schedule. And thanks to Bloomberg for hosting the event. Thanks to everyone who turned out to mentor and to hack on Git and on LibGit2. And of course, thank you for listening. If you have questions or comments for us, you can find us on Twitter and on Facebook. We're at All Things Git. And we've got stickers for you. If you want a sticker of our neat logo where a microphone meets the Git logo, then rate us on iTunes or the Google Play Store and let us know that you did. We'll happily send you out some stickers. So follow us, rate us, and thanks again for listening.